So over the summer, we've been looking at what it means to be a body, to be a family together. And we've looked at lots of different things about what that might look like. Eating together, we started off by having bacon sandwiches in the middle of a service. That was great. Worshipping, praying together. Orwin last week talked about giving and how we give as a church. And today, we're kind of finishing off by looking at how we read God's word together. And really, this is just one aspect of what it means for us to be a family as brothers and sisters. So to start with, if you're comfortable, turn to the person next to you and you've got 20 to 30 seconds. What one thing struck you from the passage? If you don't want to talk to the person next to you, that's fine. Just have a think for yourself, but I will be asking for answers from people. So turn to the person next to you. What one thing struck you about the passage? Go. Okay. Anyone want to share? Anyone want to share? I feel like a teacher. We're not going to move on until we've had a few people sharing.
I'm very much reminded of the Festival of Shelters because I remember watching the documentary about how it's set in sort of north of Manchester. And a lot of Jewish people have a special shed in their garden. Mm.
Amazing. Yeah, amazing. Thank you, Adrian. That's brilliant. Go on, Helen. They did. Yeah, a lot of parties. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. We'll get to the party. I like it. Yeah. Andres? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, brilliant. Val? Yeah. 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 Absolutely. Yeah. Sermon over, to be honest. That's great. That's that's brilliant. Thank you, Val. That's fantastic. Great. I'm sure there's loads more. If we kept going, everyone would have something that struck them. And it's amazing, isn't it? Just from hearing from three or four people, the different things people pick up on when we read God's word together. So I'm going to give us a bit of a background. I'm going to talk about what it means for us as a church to read God's word and what it looks like to do it together. The Jews knew all about God's word. Muslims famously referred to themselves and Christians and Jews as people of the book because we believe in the power of scripture to speak to us. And for the Jews, they had the word of God written on stone. If you look at Exodus, the Ten Commandments were written on stone. They were told to teach their children the word of God. They had to be written, worn on their hands and on their foreheads and written on doorposts. So there's this constant reminder of what God had done for them. And there's instructions in Deuteronomy that every 7 years, the whole book of the law was to be read to God's people to help them remember to fear God. And if you read the Psalms, you don't have to go very far before they say, actually, the law of the Lord is perfect. And that you see the psalmist loving God's word and wanting to hear from God about his word. And the New Testament church, when they started, reading scripture together was really important for them. Reading the Old Testament together became central to their acts of worship. And then as the Bible was formed over the next 50 years, reading the New Testament as well. So God's word has been important for God's people since time began, basically. And in Nehemiah, what's happened is the first seven chapters, he's helped rebuild the city. So he's got people to come in back from exile. They've been rebuilding the walls, making the city safe. And then the second half of the book that starts here at chapter 8 is all about the spiritual needs of the people. They've done the material stuff, and they're now doing the spiritual stuff. So they read the word together. In chapter 9, they confess their sins as a company. They dedicate the walls. They pray to God to protect the city. And then they cleanse the fellowship at the end. This big picture of restoration happening to God's people and to God's city, Jerusalem. And it starts here with chapter 8, right in the middle, the reading of God's word. and the spiritual needs of God's people were being met. So they gathered on Rosh Hashanah, which was this festival of trumpets. And that was basically the new year. When they finished the exile, Rosh Hashanah was the celebration of the new year. It was a special Sabbath day, a special day together. Then they have this Day of Atonement where Israel's sins were dealt with and were placed on a goat and sent out as a symbolic removal of the sins from God's people. And then this celebration of the shelters where they celebrated the end of the harvest, the kind of end of the reaping time, and God's provision over the past time. There's this sense of newness and restoration and renewal happening throughout this whole period. And in the middle of the celebration is God's word being read to God's people and God's people responding. Perhaps there's something for us here at St. James. We've spent a bit of time over the summer doing the tent up a bit. Students who've come back, I'm sure, slightly shocked at what it looks like now. As I say that the bunting falls down, this is good. Hopefully it won't fall apart. But, you know, we've spent some time investing in this tent and making this space look a bit more beautiful. And we've got some banners coming next week that Val's been working incredibly hard on that will help add to this as well. But at the start of this new term, the start of this new academic year, it's time for us to invest spiritually in ourselves as God's family together. It's time to invest in our spiritual needs, having dealt with some of the material stuff here in church. So why do we do this? Why do we read the Bible together? Is it because it's just what God's people do? Or is there something more going on? Do we do it because on a Sunday, the Church of England tells us we have to read God's word at some point? Or do we do it because there's something more important happening? I want to suggest two things happen. When we read God's word, we understand it and we see God. So we see God in his word. And then when that happens, we learn to rejoice in God's word and we learn to obey God's word as well. So we'll look at that quickly and then we'll look at what that means for us. So have a look at chapter 8, page 491, if you've closed your Bibles. We see at the start of this festival period, Ezra stands up, and in verse 3, he reads aloud from daybreak until noon. Now, I'm going to be honest. If you guys listen to me drone on for 3 or 4 hours, you would probably fall asleep very quickly. And I have done that before, not fallen asleep in church, but I have definitely not listened in church when someone's gone on a bit. It's very easy to happen, and yet the people are here listening to God's word from daybreak until noon as the sun gets hotter. And they're standing up. If you look at them in verse 5, as Ezra opens the book, the people are standing up. They have a hunger for God's word. They want to hear what God is saying to them as a community at this time of renewal, at this new time in Jerusalem. And the reason the people stood up wasn't because it was more comfortable, but because they were honoring it. They were saying, we believe God is speaking to us through this. Through this written word. What does that mean when we say that God speaks to us through the Bible? Well, if you go back to Genesis, when Adam and Eve were in the garden together, they talked with God in great intimacy. He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day with them, and they could speak face to face. But we live now in a fallen world, and Scripture is how God speaks to us in this fallen world, in a place where actually, it's hard to hear God and see God face to face in the way that happened back in Eden. And one day we will have that full restoration. And we have glimpses of that now with Jesus having come. But until then, Scripture is God's gift to us to help us see him and hear him. One author, Stephen Fowell, puts it like this. Christians are committed to the belief that the three-in-one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has revealed a passionate desire to have fellowship with God's people, even in the light of their sin. Scripture is the first thing among God's given gifts to bring about reconciliation with us and God and fellowship with God despite our sin. And he says, Scripture, God's word is holy because God has said, I want to reveal myself, I want to speak to you guys, I'm going to do it through this. And this is my way I'm going to speak to you primarily, through this unchanging, written, beautiful word. Karl Barth, the Swiss-German theologian, said about the Bible, in the Bible, it's not the right human thoughts about God that we have, but the right divine thoughts about man, humanity. The Bible tells us not how we should talk with God, but what God says to us. It's not how we find the way to God, but how God has sought us and found the way back to us. It's not the right relation in which we must place ourselves to God, but but the covenant God has made with us and all who are Abraham's spiritual children, sealed and made once for all in Jesus Christ. This is what's in the Bible, he says. God revealing himself to us. So of course the people stood up to hear God's word, because it's God himself speaking to his people, communicating with them, giving relationship with them. And once Ezra's read this to God's people, once they've heard the words of God himself, there seems to be a bit of a pause. If you look in verses 7 and 8, the Levites get involved in the act. I've got this picture of, it's noon, everyone's a bit tired, maybe they sit down at this point, and all in little groups, and they're all chatting about what's going on. And the Levites are coming around, just checking everyone's all right, answering any questions they've got. It's kind of like small group discipleship, perhaps. Perhaps you've got a model here for Sundays with Ezra reading the word and small group discipleship with other people coming in and helping everyone understand. The people didn't have their own copies of scripture. So for them to hear God's word and for it to be explained to them so they could understand it meant that God could speak clearly to them. Understanding is mentioned 6 times in this passage. There's this call for us to keep trying to learn more about God through his word. Because God's word is not some kind of magic book. I mean, it sort of is, but it sort of isn't at the same time. It is God speaking to us. But it's not like we can just read it once and go, right, I've got that sorted, and leave it. We need to take time with it. We need to take time with each other to help each other understand what's happening. There's a reason why we keep preaching sermons week in, week out. It's because we forget the truths that God tells us in his word, and we need to remind ourselves of them. There's a reason we go to small groups week in, week out, because it's helping us to remind ourselves of what God has said to us and what God is saying to us at this time. When we understand God's word, it starts to move deeper into us and change our hearts and change what we say and what we do. So understanding God's word and seeing God is really important. And then what that leads us to, as we see in this passage, is God's people rejoicing and God's people obeying his word. So if you look at verse 9, the people are crying. They've been weeping as they've been listening to the words of the law. This is potentially happy weeping, but potentially sad weeping as well. They've heard God's word, but maybe they're convicted a bit about what God has been saying to them. And Nehemiah and the leadership say, no, this is a day of celebration, go. Celebrate, have sweet drinks and choice food. Send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So they went away to eat and drink, verse 12, to send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy. Why? Because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. They rejoice in God's word. They rejoice that God is speaking to them, that after all this time in exile, they're back. And they're hearing God's word again, and they're understanding that God is speaking to them. They rejoice. Now, we take the command to eat very seriously here at St. James. We truly believe God has made all foods clean, and we will celebrate with that week in, week out. Students, if it's your first time here, the food here was not a one-off. That is going to happen every week, and there'll be pizza in the afternoons and bagels and toast and all this sort of thing. But do we rejoice also in God's word when we come together? Do we rejoice that God is speaking to us through this and through the people around us when we meet together? I just want to read a passage from God's Smuggler by Brother Andrew, who's kind of one of my spiritual heroes. I must confess, I left this at home and had to send someone to go and get it for me. So, Becky, thank you very much for collecting this for me. Brother Andrew went and took God's word to people behind the Iron Curtain in the Cold War when communism was rife in Eastern Europe and when God's people didn't have access to God's word regularly. And he smuggled Bibles across the Iron Curtain for years and years, taking great risks. And if you haven't read the book, it's an amazing story of how God provided for his people. And I just want to read a passage. It's about 1959, and for the first time, he's in Bulgaria. And he's kind of miraculously met up with this contact called Petrov. And they're in Petrov's house, a bit nervous because the authorities might know about Petrov. But Brother Andrew starts talking with Petrov. Now, let me just find the page. I've heard, I said, this is Brother Andrew speaking, that both Bulgaria and Romania are desperately in need of Bibles. Is that so? In answer, Petrov took me over to his desk. On it was an ancient typewriter with a sheet of paper in it, and next to the typewriter, a Bible, open to Exodus. 3 weeks ago, I was extremely lucky, he said. I managed to find this Bible. I got it for a good price too, only a month's pension. A month's pension on a Bible. The reason it was so cheap is that the books of Genesis, Exodus, and Revelation had been cut out. I was lucky enough to find it, and I had the money to purchase it. Now, all I have to do is fill in the missing parts for my own Bible and have another complete book. It ought to be finished in about 4 weeks. And what will you do with the second Bible then? Oh, give it away. To a little church in Plovdiv, said his wife, where there's no Bible. I wasn't sure that I understood. No Bible in the entire church? Certainly, said Petrov. There are many such churches in this country. You'll find the same in Romania and in Russia. In the old days, only the priests had them. Ordinary people couldn't read. And since communism, it's been impossible to buy them. It's not often I have a piece of luck like this. My sense of excitement mounted. I could hardly wait to show Petrov the treasure I had waiting for him in my car. That night, I drove up to the apartment, checked the street to make sure it was empty, and then took inside the first of many, many cartons of Bibles I was to deliver to this man over the years. Petrov and his wife watched me put the box on their table, their eyes wide open in curiosity. What's that? He said. I lifted the box and took out a Bible. I put it in the trembling hands of Petrov and another into the hands of his wife. And in the box, he asked, more, and still more outside. Petrov closed his eyes. His mouth was working hard to control the emotion he was feeling. But two tears rolled slowly out from between his closed lids and fell on the volume in his hands. And they go around Bulgaria for the next 2 weeks distributing Bibles to these churches that have no Bible. And they have to meet in secrecy because the authorities don't want the church meeting. So they meet in kind of semi-darkness. And he describes one moment where they unwrap a Bible and present it to a congregation. There were exclamations that threatened to be too loud before those assembled caught themselves and put their hands to their mouths. Then there were great bear hugs from the men and warm foreheads on the shoulder from the women before they passed the book from one hand to another, tenderly opening it and closing it again. When God's people are starved of God's word, that's the response they have. I think we are so used to hearing the Bible read that we don't realize the privilege it is to see and understand that God is speaking to us through this. Let's not take God's word for granted. Although that was 60 years ago, there are still Christians around the world who do not have access to God's word. Or if they do, it comes in bits and bobs, and it's difficult to get hold of. Let's rejoice that God wants to communicate with us, that he's speaking to us, and that we can hear him just by opening this book, because he wants to reveal himself to us. And when we do that, we learn to obey God's word. We learn to read what's going on here and respond to what God is saying to us. In verse 14, it says, they found written in the law that the Israelites were to live in temporary shelters during the festival of the seventh month. So what did the people do? They went out and made shelters and celebrated the festival as God had told them to do. It's simple. They read it, they went and did it. When we read God's word and when we truly rejoice that God is speaking to us, we long to obey and we long to live our life formed according to what God says to us. So reading God's word together helps us see God, helps us rejoice that God is speaking to us, and helps us obey him. What about us at St. James? I think there's a few things that God might be saying to us. First thing is that this is kind of a time of regathering of God's people, start of a new year. And here in Nehemiah 8, God's people were gathered around God's word. And the call for us over the next term is to gather around God's word together. We've got new people coming into church. You know, there's new things happening with our Connect groups. Minis is restarting. The Handyman student congregation is starting. The youth service is starting. It's a call for us to remember that we need to be centered on God's word at this time and not on all the busyness that we are doing and the excitement of this time around us. And to do that, we need time together. The reason I got us to share together is because when different people say things, we hear from each other and we learn from each other. Sundays are an important time for us to help just kind of realign ourselves with God and his word. Midweek groups are an important time for us to hear God's word together and share and learn together. So let us, at this time of renewal, be reformed by God's word. Maybe it's important that God is saying to you, come along on Sundays a bit more. Make Sundays more of a priority. Make Mondays a priority as a student. Make the Families Connect important if you're part of the Families group. Make your Connect group a priority if you're part of a Connect group. I know for some of us that is easier than others. You know, we all have very, very busy lives. And there are times when the second Wednesday comes around, I go, oh, I forgot we've got the Connect group around. And I haven't thought about what food I'm cooking them. And they make a mess after Hoover afterwards. Oh, and the dishwasher is full and it needs to be clean. Oh, do you know what? Sometimes it is a hassle. Members of my group, I love you guys very dearly. But do you know what? Every time when people come in at 7:15 and once we get chatting, it is great. When we open God's word together, we learn so much. To be honest, there's normally a time in the evening, we've all been chatting for about half an hour or so, and Lee Yen hasn't said anything, and she just pop up for about 5 minutes, and you can hear a pin drop, because what she's saying is from God, and it just speaks into our lives, and it is a real encouragement to us. Thank you, Lee Yen, for that gift that you give us. Do you have that in your group, that honesty of hearing God's word together? I think God is calling us to make time in our lives for us to hear from him through his word and from other people. In a few weeks' time, I'm going to be talking about one of our values, which is grow. So we're doing a value series over the next few weeks about our St. James values, love, live, grow, serve, and build. And I'm going to talk about what that means for us when we read our Bible individually, you know, a kind of pattern of daily reading our Bible. But for now, I want to encourage us to take time together as a community, as a family, to read God's word. Can we lay down our time before God and say, God, what do you want me to take up this term that enables me to hear from you better? And what's more important? I was reading, I pray for persecuted Christians every day, and the prayer for today was about Iranian Christians. And it was saying they don't have fellowship. They get most of their content from TV, from radio, and from occasional things kind of smuggled in that they managed to get. I don't want to use the kind of classic parent tactic of you need to finish your meal because there's children in Africa who could do that food. But there is a little bit of that. The people in Iran, our brothers and sisters in Iran would love to meet up and have 6 to 8 people they can meet with week in, week out to share community together. And we've got that on a plate here. If you're not part of a group, come to Growing Disciples. Come to Andy and Jenny are going to be a part of it. And we're going to create, hopefully, 2 or 3 groups off the end of it that will help you just get cemented into that community. And the reason I think this is really important, and this is kind of my final point really, is that when we hear God's word together, our story gets mixed up with God's story. You know, this is God speaking to us in his word. And we see what God has done to his people and through his people and for his people throughout history. And as we hear God's story, we're encouraged to see our own story in the midst of scripture and to tell our own story off the back of it. I know that in our groups, that is what happens a lot. So for God at Work, a big part of what they do on a Tuesday is kind of celebrate what God is doing at work with them in their lives. They're thinking about how they work Monday to Saturday as Christians. And when we read the Bible together and we see God's story, we see our own place in it. When I was 19 and I'd felt this call to go and train to be a vicar, there was one passage that kept coming up time and time again. I heard 2 or 3 sermons on it in the space of 3 or 4 months. It kind of kept coming up in my daily Bible reading for some reason. People would mention the story. And it was God speaking to me really clearly. It was the story of Jesus walking on water. And Peter realizes that it's Jesus and not a ghost. And he goes, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out and walk to you. And Jesus says, come on then. Which Peter probably goes, oh, I shouldn't have said that, should I? But he steps out and he starts walking towards Jesus. And what I felt God saying so clearly to me through that time was, I just want you to take that first step out of the boat. I just want you to step forward and trust me on this first step. And then we'll see about the rest further down the line. And every time I hear that story now, it takes me back nearly 10 years to when I was 19. And I wasn't sure what God was doing with me. But I knew that he was saying, come on, just trust me with this first step. And I can look back and see over the last 9 or 10 years how faithful God has been when I hear that story of Peter. And I'm sure in 5 or 10 years' time, when that story comes around again at some point, I'll remember that past, but God will be saying something new to me again. And it might be about keeping my eyes fixed on him, or it might be about something completely different. But I can see my story in God's story. And so now part of my story is that God has spoken to me through Peter walking on water. Sundays are a time for us to share those stories of what God is doing. They're a time for us to be able to say, God has spoken to me like this week. And here's how God's word has impacted me this week. There's loads of places that follow-up could happen with this. There's midweek discipleship groups. There's committing to Sundays. There's so much stuff. God will have said something to you in this sermon. He might have said 2 or 3 things. You never know. What I'd love us to do is, again, if you're comfortable, turn to the person next to you and say, what has God said to you in the last 25 minutes or so? What is God challenging you on? What do you think God might be calling you into in this next phase? If you don't want to share with the person next to you, that's absolutely fine. Just think and meditate on that for yourself. And I'd love that you pray for each other. Pray and kind of keep each other accountable to that over the next week or so, maybe. Take that time to just articulate what God has said to you in the last half an hour or so, or what God might have been saying to you in the last week. And start telling your own story as part of what God has been saying, and then pray for each other. And after a bit of time, the band will come up and will lead us in a song. Let me say a quick prayer, and then we'll split you off. Father, we thank you that you say so much to us, and you love to speak to us. Come, Holy Spirit, and just work now. Reveal in our hearts the things that need to be revealed. Tear down our walls and our defences. And help us, Lord, to hear what you are saying to us now. And would you use these things to transform us by the power and the might of your Holy Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen. So just a couple of minutes to share if you feel comfortable.